na ostatnią część naszego nabożeństwa, poprosimy brata Stanisława Pawła.
Panie nasz Boże, wielki, nasz Mocy Boże, my jako Twoje dzieci chcemy teraz przyjść do Ciebie, aby uwielbić Ciebie za to, że do tej pory błogosławiłeś nam, za to, że jesteś wspaniałym Bogiem. Przydałeś nam społeczność z Tobą, z Twoim Synem i Duchu Twoim Świętym. Kochany Panie Boże, prosimy Ciebie, abyś sprawił tę chwilę, przez które będziemy Ciebie nadal uwielbiać, przyniosły nam błogosławieństwo, pewnie jeszcze większą część chwały. Prosimy, abyś nas błogosławił, jak również byś błogosławił nas w naszych podwórzach do domu. Chwała Ci, który będzie w imieniu Pana Jezusa Chrystusa.
Yeah.
There was a man from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. His dearly loved wife Hannah was without child. For the two of them, it was a sad situation and a difficult experience. Each year, this man and his wife made a pilgrimage to worship and to sacrifice at the tabernacle at Shiloh. This annual pilgrimage was one of the ways they showed their love and devotion to the Lord. They did this year after year. Hannah made a vow that if she ever had a son, she would give him to the Lord. In the course of time, the Lord remembered their devotion, loyalty, and Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. While Samuel was still a young child, Hannah brought him to the tabernacle and said to Eli, the high priest, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked. So now I give him to the Lord." Samuel lived at the tabernacle with Eli, and one night the Lord called Samuel. Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." The Lord called to Samuel two more times, but each time Samuel ran to Eli. Then Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Again, the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." This time, Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The Lord then told Samuel that he was going to remove Eli and his family from their priestly roles. Eli and his family did not heed the many warnings the Lord had given to them. Despite the warnings, the sons of Eli continued in their immoral and blasphemous ways. And Eli did nothing to stop them. The Lord told Samuel that for these sins, Eli and his family would be removed. Samuel lay down until morning. I suspect he did not sleep. The next morning, he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son, what was it he said to you? Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you severely if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." As we close our convention here in Dillingham, this story from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, has some important lessons for us regarding our responsibilities and privileges as we return home. It's been a privilege to be here at this convention, and each privilege has its responsibility. One lesson we gain
is to observe the example of the very devoted family of Elkanah. Not only do we admire their faithfulness year after year, but at this moment, we particularly appreciate their devotion as expressed in their annual pilgrimage to worship at the tabernacle. We like that part of the account because we too have made a pilgrimage to worship and learn at the tabernacle. That shows that some things about the Lord's people do not change, regardless of when they live. In our desire to worship and sacrifice, we travel great distances to assemble. And we know that many others wished they could have come and had such a privilege, but were not able. Secondly, we appreciate how this family of Samuel kept their vows. Hannah made a promise, and even though it was difficult to keep according to the flesh, the promise was kept. And Samuel also was a good example in his cooperation and willingness to serve the Lord. The purpose of this week was to instruct us and encourage us in the keeping of our vows. After having been at this great gathering, we should all be encouraged to more zealously fulfill our vows of consecration. On the other hand, there is a sad part to this story. Sad and serious. It is the account of Eli. Eli, the high priest, had a great heritage. He was a descendant of Aaron. He was chosen of all his Levitical brethren to be responsible for the tabernacle. The Lord dealt with him, spoke to him, explained things to him. And yet, Eli permitted dishonorable behavior in his family and in the service of the tabernacle. Eli was consecrated, but he failed to keep his vows. It didn't matter that he was the high priest. It didn't matter that he lived at the tabernacle full time. It didn't matter that he was daily slaying animals for sacrifice. It didn't matter that he was wearing official robes. It didn't even matter that some thought very highly of him. None of these things meant that he was pleasing to the Lord. Eli was not a man of principle. He was weak-willed. The words of the Lord had no energizing effect on him. He made his decisions like a worldly man. And within his daily life and the life of his family, their overriding concern was for the things of the flesh. In great contrast was the young Samuel, devoted, consecrated, with a single-mindedness in his life. Samuel devoted his entire life to the work of the Lord. It was a difficult life, often lonely, often a life of hardship and affliction. But Samuel never lost the focus of his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, a statement is made that summarizes Samuel's consecrated life. It tells us that the Lord was with Samuel, and Samuel let none of the Lord's words fall to the ground. Not only did Samuel hear listen, and understand. He obeyed. He let none of the words fall to the ground. As we look at this week of convention and try to understand why we were here and what we must now do, I believe that scripture tells it all. That scripture summarizes our responsibilities for the privilege of being at this convention. Let none of the words fall to the ground. Like the family of Elkanah, we have made a great pilgrimage. That part of the story we have duplicated and accomplished. Despite the travel expense and the difficulties of getting here, making the trip was really the easy part, wasn't it? But the keeping of vows, putting God's word into action in our daily lives, living a lifetime of consecration, is going to be more difficult than just making a trip. We have the same clear choice in our lives that Eli and Samuel had. This week, we have had many words presented before us. The words of life. The Lord's words urging you to live the life of Samuel. If the Spirit of God was and is alive in your mind and heart, you heard the words of God. Maybe you thought it was the brother from Germany, or a voice from France, or Africa. But no, my dear brethren, as Eli told Samuel, it was the Lord. You heard words of faith, love, prayer, doctrine, prophecy, words of the kingdom, of study, of trials and testings, words of decisions, words of warning, words of encouragement, words of joy, words of sacrifice, words of the Spirit. You heard and understood words that no one else could understand. Who else could understand three frogs? Who else could understand Zadok, the priest? Who could understand the invitation, the call, the ancient worthies, the new covenant? It is our responsibility to not let these words fall to the ground. What would it mean to let these words fall to the ground? It would mean the words might have been heard, but they were not appreciated, weren't valued. The words were to be absorbed, digested, consumed, studied, considered, remembered, and acted upon. It is your privilege and responsibility to do something with the words you heard this week. And it was not just the words you heard from the platform. You also heard just as many words in your fellowship. You heard testimonies. You heard the joys and sufferings of others. You got an appreciation of how God works in the lives of others. We heard of miracles this week. The words of fellowship, for some of you, will be what you remember the most. In our conversations, we have grown closer to each other in the bonds of Christian love. We heard each other's heartaches and failures. We told each other how much better we wanted to serve the Lord. And especially those of you who were here for the first time, you received a fellowship blessing like never before. We also heard words of song. Our singing was a praise to the Heavenly Father. And as time passes, some of you will remember the singing the best. The multiple languages praising God. The music transcending the language barrier. We will remember bits and pieces of this Billingen Convention for the rest of our lives. It may be a word of fellowship, a word of doctrine, or a word of music. And in other instances, we will listen to the tapes or read copies of the discourses for years to come. Whichever words struck you the most, whichever words you appreciated the most, let them work in your life. Let them make you a better Christian for having heard them. Let the words of Billingen this week help you to run for the prize of the high calling. And how did it go with our friend Samuel in later years? He experienced many trials and testings. He had his ups and downs, but he was always beloved of the Lord. The Lord protected him, instructed him, fed him, and blessed him. The Lord performed miracles on his behalf. All of these things will happen to you. The trials, the testings, the ups and the downs. You may feel rejected, just like Samuel on occasion. But the Lord will bless you spiritually. He will instruct you. He will perform miracles on your behalf. And He will care for you unto the end. That expression of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, that was used regarding Samuel as a young man, was just as true of him when he died an old man. It could have been said of Samuel that in all his life, he let none of the Lord's words fall to the ground. May the same be said of you.
Thank you.
Those who worked that we could be so blessed. The translators, the arrangers, the committee members, the teachers, the speakers, workers, those who cleaned, those who prayed for us, those who donated, those who sang, those who played, those who recorded, those who encouraged, supported, those who suggested, those who videoed. And thank you especially to those of you who came. Thank you to our brethren from Greece for coming. Where are the brethren from Greece? Thank you for coming. And thank you to our German brethren for not only being here, but for being the host country of this convention. Dankeschön. Thank you for coming from Belgium. Thank you for coming from Argentina. Thank you for coming from Canada. Thank you for coming from Denmark. Please give our special greetings to the brethren in India, and especially to Brother Joseph and Brother Daniel, whom we met at previous international conventions. Timo, Saripa, thank you for coming from Finland. Brother and Sister Klinkert, thank you for coming from Holland. And from France, merci beaucoup. Debron, 2 years ago, we never dreamed that at our next international convention we would have brethren from Romania. Thank you for coming from Romania. What will we find 2 years from now? Thank you for coming from the Ukraine. Thank you for coming from Switzerland. Thank you for Austria. Okay. close to Austria is Australia. Thank you for coming from Australia. Dziękuję. Thank you for coming from Poland.
Thank you. español.
English. Only God knows when we shall see each other again. It has been a great blessing to share this week with you. I am glad that each one of you was able to have been here. It was a joy to see you, to shake your hands, to embrace you, and to feel your love. I pray that it might be said of you and me that we let none of his words fall to the ground. God bless you, and God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you.
last verse. Son, we thank you for the hope of the high calling, and we thank you for the privilege of attending this wonderful, wonderful convention. We pray that you would grant us more of your Holy Spirit, and that your Spirit would go with us as we part. Watch over us, keep us from the world, and protect us from the adversary. We appreciate all that you have done for us, and we're mindful of our brethren scattered the world over who are not as fortunate as we are. We ask that you would give them a special blessing, those who are isolated and sick and going through special trials. Forgive us for our shortcomings, and we pray that your kingdom would soon come. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah.